Welcome to Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry, your virtual community church. We're living in excellence, we walk in expectation. Join us now while Pastor Carter Dean Harris brings us a word from our Lord.
By none other than Pastor Carter Dean Harris of Real Life Rhema. Rhema Real Life. Amen. She is my sister in Christ. I love her, and I know that God has placed a great word in her. So can you point toward the woman of God and say, Lord, do it. Lord, do it. And amen. Come on, let's clap glad hands. As pastor comes before our front. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Go ahead and worship him where you are. Worship him in the beauty of holiness. Worship him where you are, even if you're messed up this morning. Hallelujah. You can worship him in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah, Jesus. He'll remove all things. He'll remove all things. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's a healing in this place right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody's mindset is messed up right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody's relationship is faltering, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We bless you this morning, God. We bless you for the people of God this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, taste and see, hallelujah, that the Lord is good, y'all. His mercy, his truth, it endures and is everlasting. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Good morning, real life. Good morning, real life. Good morning, Rhema. Good morning, Rhema, real, real Rhema. Good morning. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm asking God not to let me take off. Amen. Hallelujah. Temper me, Lord. Temper me, God, to our virtual community. We say, God, bless you this morning. We appreciate you right where you are. Worship him. Hallelujah. Just allow the Spirit of God to minister to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you desire and if you can. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God this morning. Hallelujah. Temper me, Lord. Hallelujah. Let me say good morning to you. Amen. To our pastors, Paul and Leslie Taylor. Hallelujah. Y'all come on now. Hallelujah. Those folks that stay praying for all of us. Those folks that take some stuff from some of us. Amen. Come on. Give it up for the real. Hallelujah. Pastors Paul and Leslie Taylor. That's it. That's it right there. Amen. God bless you, pastors. Amen. Our deacons and our elders. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Somebody got to open up the doors. Amen. Somebody got to stay on their knees. Somebody got to put that foot in the ground and not move. Hallelujah. Thank you to our covenant partners. Amen. Hallelujah. For we are not praying alone. We are praying with you and for you. But guess what? We need you praying with us and for us as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Before I take off, I need to go ahead and say Elder Harris sends his greetings, his blessings, and his love this morning. Amen. Y'all pray me through now. Amen. I don't know when the last time I preached without him in the house, but God, hallelujah, is in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Pastors, we ran a probably about a minute and a half video this morning on Rhema's channel and told him to turn on over to real life. Amen. Amen. If you tuned in to Rhema this morning for a word, told you to come on over to real life. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. If I can just glory to God. But let's give God some praise. I know you've been praising him since you walked through the door. I know you've been praising him since you woke up this morning. I know you've been praising him since your eyes opened and you realized you were still on this side. Hallelujah. Glory to you, God. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. The Alpha and the Omega, my beginning, and I'm going to take it personal, my very end. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. My Redeemer and my salvation, my strength. Hallelujah. My cooperation, God. God can cooperate with you, you know. God is not going to fight you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, God. If I can have just a few minutes this morning to ensure that you get what you came for. Some of us came for one thing and some of us came for another. Some of us came for just a few things, and some of us came because we need many things. Amen? But I think it's safe to say that the outcome of it all will be what we now at this very moment decide we want from God. Amen? What is it you want from God this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you've not come to hear from him, you're in the wrong place. Amen. If you haven't come to find a way to get closer to him, to be a better person in this life, you're in the wrong place. Amen. If you haven't come to try to understand his ways and his intentions for each and every one of us, you're in the wrong place. You know, I heard somewhere some rumor, hallelujah, that was spreading around that said maybe out here in Port Wentworth or maybe on the east side and the west side, maybe on the south side and the north side, but I think there's a rumor out there somewhere that says that the people of real life, the church itself, my God, is going through a paradigm shift. I heard this rumor, so I came to find out for myself. I came to remind us of some things that will help us, because when a shift comes, things may become uneven at some point, but you've got to stay on, stable, and solid ground. I heard somewhere that somebody was looking for a change, a shift in the atmosphere, a change, a momentum, a move, if I may. But I can only tell you, I need to keep up with the paradigm shift. And I want to tell you that you can keep up with that shift. When the change comes, you don't have to be left behind. My God, when the change comes, that shift takes place, you can get there. But you're going to have to seek infallible outcomes this morning. So this morning we are seeking infallible outcomes. We're looking for something that nobody yet has discovered. Somewhere, oh my God, out there in space, down at the, oh God, the very innermost parts of the earth, somebody is seeking infallible outcomes. Blow, choo-choo train, blow. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Listen. When we talk about infallible outcomes, I don't know if you're looking at this thumbnail here, you're looking at this picture, and sometimes when we're seeking things, we go into a place where it's hard sometimes to see our way to what we're trying to get to. We can't understand why this is moving and that is shifting. Something's going this way, and I intended it to go what? That way. So something is taking place. Let's talk about infallibility for a moment. Infallible or biblical infallibility, the belief that what the Bible says regarding matters of faith and Christian practice is wholly useful and true. Come on, somebody. It is the, quote, belief that the Bible is completely trustworthy as a guide to what? Salvation. Who's seeking it this morning? And the life of faith, and will not fail to accomplish its purpose. The Bible will not fail to accomplish its purpose. That's infallibility. When you know for sure, hey, oh my God. In other words, the word of God, which is contained in and duly, it's contained in and is duly makes up the Bible, it cannot fail you. It cannot fail or fail you. And that's when we take it to another level. We know it can't fail, but do we really believe that it won't fail me? That's the paradigm shift that we're looking for. I believe God. I was raised trusting God. But do I really walk in that place where I understand that that word is real in me? It is the outcome that you are seeking. That everlasting life that you sing about is free. That salvation that was handed to you while Christ gave his life in exchange, guess what? For the mistakes, for the things that are fallible, he gave his life so that you could walk with your head up high. My sister said the other day, I always stood with a stance. So with a regal stance, I stand and I tell you, flat foot. Hallelujah, not being moved like a tree planted by the very rivers of water. Guess what? I stand understanding that Christ gave it this thing in exchange for me on the cross. And if he already gave it, that makes it infallible. I don't have to tell you anything else this morning. Do you get seeking infallible outcomes? The outcome of something, where it will land, what will be the end result, the outcome. Oh, God, slow me down, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because we're seeking outcomes that won't fail us. We're looking for things that are going to be all right. We're not going to go to the car lot and pick out the biggest heap for the most money. Come on, somebody. Oh, my God, we're not going to go into the store and spend multiple dollars on the weakest looking steak or pork chop or whatever it is you desire. You're not going to pick up the scrawniest thing when they've got this juicy, meaty thing over here. And they say they're all going for the same price. Looking for things that won't fail us. Thus, seeking infallible outcomes requires some things, though. It requires intentional preparation. It requires being focused on that thing or that place that you want to get to or that place where you want to be. You can't just lolly along, you see. You've got to be intentional. When the shift starts to happen, that paradigm gets, oh God, you got to make sure you're standing in the right spot at the right time. Don't be over there lollygagging and you mess around and then, oh my God, the earth mess around and opens and there's a shift. You don't want to be on the fault line seeking infallible outcomes. My God, I'm almost done, Lord Jesus. Let's go to the word. Oh God, seeking infallible outcomes, remember this now, requires what? Intentional what? Preparation. Now, I'm going to warn you. Let me give you a warning as we move in and move on. I'm not going to always get to where you think I'm going. Somebody's already said, oh, I know where she's going. I don't know where he's going. So I may not get to where you think I'm going, but we're seeking an infallible outcome this morning. We're seeking something that will not hurt us or harm us, but will hold us and lift us up. Amen? Let's look at the book of Jude for a moment. Oh, I'm going to preach my birthday scripture this morning. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. January 24th, 1962, and I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. January 24th, 124. Jude is adopted as my birthday scripture. Jude 1 and 24, now unto him. I'm going to come back to that. But let's look at the book of Jude chapter 1 this morning. Amen. Let me put some help on. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. That might be showing in the 61 now. Yes, sir. The word of God says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Jude's greeting. He's opening up with a greeting. He's letting them know, hey, listen, there's going to be some shifting as I move forward, but mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Let's keep going. Hallelujah. Dear friends, he says, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share. It's not mine by myself, but the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to who? God's who? Holy people. God's who? What kind of people? God's holy people. Come on, let's keep going. Thank you, God. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for permission for immorality. And deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. I told you, if you didn't come to hear him today, you're in the wrong place. Amen. Though you already know this. Jude says, I'm telling you, but you already know this. Go back. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Though you already know this. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. 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 I was going to my backup. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of where? Egypt. We remember that, but later destroyed those who did not believe. Hallelujah. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling. These angels. He has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. My God, in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah, you heard of them, and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Give me one more. Come on. In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and keep abuse. Oh my God, heap abuse on celestial beings. They're throwing abuse at the angels. They're talking trash about the angels. Oh my God, that message version, Pastor, when I looked into it, oh my God. Oh God, that message version, that eighth verse said this right here. This is exactly the same program of these latest infiltrators, them dirty people, dirty sex, rule and rulers thrown out, glory dragged in the mud. Come on, holy people of God. We seek an infallible outcomes. We can't continue to drag kingdom through the mud. We can't continue to live on the outs while we say we're on the in. Come on, holy people of God. This is who we're talking to this morning. We can no longer continue. I think I heard my pastor say recently, oh my God, to think that it's okay to cuss them out when nobody from the church is listening. You know that old time saying, I'm going to put my religion on a shelf while I see about you, but that means that's all you're about is religion. That is not the holiness of the God that I serve. Amen? I'm going to skip down some here. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. 17th verse. Thank you, Lord. But remember, dear friends, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold us some things. They foretold this. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. I hope I'm preaching hard enough for you, because this is the word this morning. Let me read that one again. Go back, right. Oh, God, they said to you, they prepared you. That's why he started saying, you already know, in the last times, in the days we're in now, there will be scoffers, those who look down their nose at you as if they are holier than thou. There will be scoffers, those who are promoting secular living, secular music, secular lives, who will look at you like you too saved and sanctified to come on their street. There will be scoffers, those who dare to question what God has told you to do. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. They don't want to hear the word. So again, if you're out there, oh my God, in our virtual, and you didn't come to hear from God, you can go ahead and tune out. If you're here, I dare to say, and you didn't come to hear from God, we won't say a word, just tip on out the door. Because there are scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. Pastors, as the paradigm shifts, as the changes come, and you all continue to seek infallible outcomes, outcomes that are persistent, outcomes that will not falter. Listen, everybody's not going to want to shift. Everybody's not going to want to seek. But you continue to hold on and hold out. Come on, come on, come on. Let me get these words, this word, this word, this word. Lord God, let's go ahead, go ahead, go ahead to the, go. Thank you, Jesus. Let me finish up the 17th through that 19th verses. In these last days, I'm reading from the message now, there will be people who don't take things seriously anymore. That means that once they did, you see, when they first gave their life to Christ, they were gung-ho about Jesus, but they got wrapped up in some other things. Oh, my God, as the shift changes, some positions might have to change. You might have to move over here and let this one that Pastor said needs to come over there. Listen, you got to be ready for the shift. Listen, Jesus, they'll treat what God has told you like a joke. and make a religion of their own whims and lust. What they think, what they thought. Oh, God, I done gone. They'll make a religion. These, I'm going to tell you, those scoffers, are the ones who split churches, thinking only of themselves. They split churches, you see. They don't split this building, but they split the people of God. And they cause them to go here and to go there. Are the scoffers who don't know how to treat the people when they come in the door. They will cause the people to not want to come back through the door. That's not over here in real life. This is a church of love. Come on, God. That's not in Rhema. This is a church of love. Come on, God. These are the ones who split churches, thinking only of themselves. I did it for 15 years. Why can't I do it now? These are the ones who think of nothing but themselves. They forget that we're none here to stay. They forget that we're none here. Infallible. We're not infallible. We will break down. We will mess up. Guess what? We will get sick. Guess what? We will die. Listen, the only ones of us who won't die in this earth from this body are those who will be there when he cracks the sky. Listen. And then those who remain, you see, those who have gone on will be caught up. But those who remain will be caught up. The ones who died first, you go ahead and die in Jesus. Don't be scared. Somebody looking at me like she done lost. Yes. Let me tell you, when you know you die in Christ, you okay. I'm okay that mama left me, okay? I'm good. I'm good that mama is no longer here. Let me tell you that my prayers more and more have been, God, I thank you that she's not dealing with the stuff of this earth. God, I thank you. Oh, my God, I want y'all, whoever you lost, your heart is holding back. Go ahead and tell the Lord, thank you. They're not dealing with the mess going on. They're not trying to escape the news. They're not trying to keep the TV turned off or changing the channel because everything is ungodly now. It's everywhere. Oh, my God, those same people that Jude warned us about with their sexual immorality. And let me tell you, somebody's saying, why they always got to come down on sexual immorality? Well, let me tell you, it's because, listen, when you engage in things that are not ordained by God in a sexual sense, you have come against God himself. That is the only sin where we sin against our very soul. Jesus, glory to God. Somebody needs to get saved this morning. Oh, my God, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I take my time just a moment this morning? So in this thing, this paradigm shift, this change that we're looking forward to, this movement that's taking place, this change in the atmosphere, this thing that's happening before your very eyes, somebody can't see it because they can't see through the spiritual eye. Somebody's looking through the carnal eye. You're looking for the earth to open up. You're looking for a sign, and the sign has already been here. Somebody can't see it because they don't understand. My God. How to keep going forward? How do I seek those infallible outcomes? Well, I told you it's because there has to be, it requires intentional preparation. I'm gonna shift for a moment right now. Let's shift right here. I have a question for you. How many of you have ever rolled a square ball? Come on. How do you think it would feel to have to roll a square ball? Well, only thing I can think of is if you're trying to roll a square box. And to roll a square ball means you got to move it every step of the way. But to roll a round ball, you see, it's going to just move easily. So when we think about that thing, yes, look at that picture right there. You see, they got ready. They made sure they had their stuff in the right shape, the right form, the right fashion. They're prepared, so they're moving on. But all that one somebody that's sitting back there trying to roll a square ball, it says unprepared. You're not ready. There's some intentional preparation that has to take place. You see, a ball is intended to roll. You can punch it, you can push it, and watch it go some distance. A box, on the other hand, has to either be lifted or you have to slide it. Take a little more energy out of you. When you're born in 1962, might mess with your back just a little bit. My God, my God. Oh, Lord, the ball takes less effort. But see, the ball had to be prepared. Those corners had to be taken out and curved. Some molding had to take place. Those staunch corners where you find those stuff in the cracks and crevices had to be eased out, amen, and begin to take on a different form. If you think about cleaning something, a square dish, you sometimes have to get those little cleaners and go in the corner to get what's in the corner. So see, when you are prepared and you have the tools you need, you have the ammunition, oh God, you're able to keep moving what? Forward. But when you're unprepared, you're trying to roll that square box, you might get stuck on, if I may, stupid. You might be scratching your head while everything else in the shift is moving on. So I come today to tell you to seek infallible outcomes. Go ahead and seek him who is able to keep you from falling. God, help me not to go there. Go right on ahead, I tell you, because you have to have deliberate or intentional preparation. I know I'm not preaching hard this morning, Pastor, but I ask God to keep me, slow me down. Listen. Those deliberate or intentional preparations have some guidelines. They require certain things. Y'all, the pastor is a cake baker. My God, he's a cake baker. He has to follow certain instructions. That cake not coming out right. Listen, let me tell you, we're going to cook this morning. And I'm going to cook something everybody here can relate to, whether you eat it or not. Let's cook us a pot of grits. Doesn't have to be a big old pot like mama used to cook. Let me tell you something, and everybody probably will say, my mama cooked the best grits in the whole wide U.S. of A nation world around. Listen, and she would cook a pot as big as that flour. She would cook on Saturday mornings, every Saturday morning, for a prayer breakfast with Savannah Community Choir. And that place would be packed. And each week, we would rotate from the tenor section to the alto section to the soprano section. Even the bass had a section. And we had to rotate every week to fulfill the month. But let me tell you something. Mommy was a soprano. But I guarantee you, one day, Sister Valadas, can nobody cook grits but Tanksley. And she gonna cook for the altos, the tenors, the bass, and the soprano. So let's cook some grits this morning. Listen, when we think about cooking grits, sometimes they come out one way, sometimes they come out another. Sometimes they come out lumpy, sometimes they come out creamy. But somebody's going to choose the Quaker Instant Grits, and they think it's done. Even if you choose the Quaker Instant Grits that say it take 5 minutes, don't you eat that grits after 5 minutes? Man, Deke, you take that 5 minute Quaker, you better let, to my young people who don't know, let that grits keep cooking and you keep stirring. And you go add a little more water and you keep stirring. Let that thing cook out so you're not feeling the seed. Watch this. How many of y'all want a grit sitting on your tongue? See, you ought not to be able to distinguish. Once the preparation is done, everything ought to become from that square box or a smooth ball. You ought not to be able to tell that one grit from another. They now become grits. They come together. Listen, some of us measure, and some of us just pour. I measure. My mommy was a pourer, and I think she put pouring into this one over here. Some of us wash ours, and some of us don't. But I'm telling you now, we have our preferences. I'm not eating your grits if they're not washed. How do you know they're not washed? Because they got all them little dirty specks. Listen. And there's nothing wrong if you just pour the water, but I'm not going to eat them. Because that's one of my idiosyncrasies. I feel something. I'm like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I don't feel like picking through my grits to get the little black things out me. I just want to sit down. My God. Some of us sprinkle in the salt, and some of us pour spoon in the salt. Then some of us sometimes lose our mind and pour in the salt, and we get too much. Some of us add butter in the cook, and some wait to add butter once it's on the table. Some of us add some more butter on the table anyhow. Some of us add milk or cheese or broth. Somebody said, I should add some broth. I don't do the broth. While some of us want what we might call some true mama grits. That looked like some my mama grits right there. Yes, sir. That's my mama grits right there. Glory to God. That first one was a little lumpy, but that's okay. Some people like the lumps. I like mine smooth. Amen. Sometimes Elder prefer a little lumpy, so I have to take him some out and then add me a little more stuff to make mine smooth. But you know, I want to ask y'all a question. What's the best way to eat grits? Somebody tell me, what's the best way to eat grits? Just call it out. What's the best way to eat grits? Ooh, this sister say some sugar. No, she... She said, no, him with a little sugar. That's all right. That's all right, brother. He praying for her. Glory to God. That's all right if you like a little sugar. Come on now. What do you eat with your grits? Glory to God. Deke said ketchup. Ooh, y'all see these different preferences? Come on. Now, I know with some gravy. Some grits. Cheese. Okay, bring up that next picture. I bet you many of y'all are here like that right there. Yes. Some shrimp and grits. Oh, yes. Shrimp and grits. That bring the gravy. That bring the spices. That brings the seasoning. That causes it to be in a place. You ready for it to be good? You ready to get it in? Listen, many of us sometimes think about what's going on with the grits. Now, let me just back up while I told you about. So when we think about those grits this morning, I want us to think about ideas. I want us to think about vision, because vision is what's going to cause this paradigm shift to work. Listen, so the idea or vision sometimes come from different places. That drop in your spirit of mind, I want some grits. Or man, I've got a taste for some grits this morning. That's a drop in the spirit. Or you see clear as day, like God might show you those grits. But listen, think about the grits as a vision. You're sitting there watching the TV and you see all of a sudden that commercial about those Quaker instant grits. But then what happens? Because it's matured, because they've taken it through the process, they show that nice hot bowl. That thing is ready. Sometimes you're on the phone with your friend, your sister, your brother. Conversations lead to this. Girl, I cooked some grits up in here yesterday. And all of a sudden, you want some what? Some grits. So with that paradigm shift, you've got to be able to move when the spirit says move. You've got to be able to recognize when the shift comes. And oh, my God, wherever it's coming from, is it coming through God putting it right in your face? Is it coming through a word from the Lord? Is it coming even people, holy people of God, you can be watching something on television and God dropped some things in your spirit about what needs to go forth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and those that dwell therein. He founded it upon the seas. He established it upon the flood. So we've cooked our grits. Glory to God. We talked about the best way to eat the grits. There's an online version that says this. The ground corn is boiled with milk, water, or broth to reach a creamy porridge-like consistency. I can't relate to that. I've never had porridge. But I've had grits. So you might not be able to relate immediately to what's being dished up. But what you have to do is take a deep breath and wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Don't you scurry because you don't understand. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Do you hear me? You stand still. Don't you scurry. Don't you run from your church. Don't you run from your pastors. Don't you run from your leaders. Don't you run from the Spirit of God because you don't fully understand. Because somebody in here has yet to cook grits. Somebody in here has never cooked it for the first time. But I'm here, I guarantee you. Somebody that cooked them years ago for the first time, they might have been a little seedy. There might have been, but as you continue to cook that grits, oh, that thing got better and better. Oh, it tastes gooder and gooder. Your child wouldn't eat it, but now they say, Mama, you're going to cook me some grits. Are you with me now? Oh, my God. Seeking infallible outcomes. Even when we're cooking that grits, we're not sure how it's going to turn out, but we are seeking. We're looking for it to be right. And while we're seeking for it to come out right, we're adding a dose of this. We're adding a little of that. We might try milk the next time. Oh, my God, seeking infallible hours. No matter the method that we're using, you see. Somebody might cook it on the stove. Somebody might cook those Quaker in the microwave. But no matter the method, no matter the ingredients we add or don't add, whether you sprinkle some onions, you lay out some cheese, whether you smother some shrimp, some pork chops and gravy, oh, come on, I'm talking to the old souls. No matter how you eat them, you can eat them by themselves. Each one of us thinks that we have a foolproof way of getting it done. Every one of us thinks that our way is the better way. I'm not going to even condone right. Yeah. But we think that it's the better way. But that right way is that infallible outcome. Oh, my God, I got to go back in the Word for a minute. Got to go back into Jude for a minute. Glory to God. I'm almost done, y'all, I promise. Oh, Lord, y'all tired of me yet? By the way, Jude, my brother Jude, I've adopted him as my brother. Jude was a brother of Christ. He was Christ's half-brother. Somebody said, well, why was he his half-brother? Because we know who Christ's true father was. Yeah. And though he came along later between Joseph and Mary, he was his half-brother. And it declares that he was the brother of James, who was the half-brother to Jesus. And Jude, so you have this history and you have this knowledge. The book of Jude is one chapter. So I want y'all to go and read it now. Because everything that Jude wrote, ooh, those many thousands of years ago, is sitting on this earth right now. It's showing itself right now. Lord God. But in this word, if we can go to, thank you, Lord, the 20th through the 25th verses. Let me give you these. But you, dear friends,
That's what I want you to use that grits to do. Carefully build yourselves up. And I'm reading from the Message right now. Carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Staying right at the center of God's love. Keeping your arms open and outstretched. Ready for the mercy of our Master Jesus Christ. This is the unending life. Ah! Somebody tell me, what it say? The real life. This is the unending life, the real life. This is that infallible outcome we're seeking. Go easy, it says, on those who hesitate in the faith. We talked about them earlier. They might not get it right away, but you keep serving them some grits. Ha! And win them over. Go easy on those who hesitate in the faith. Go after those who take the wrong way. You sent them this way, they went that way. Go after them and point them in the right direction. It says, Lord God, be tender with sinners. Don't cut them up. Don't cut them down. Because guess what? You didn't want anybody cutting you up and cutting you down. And some of us still don't want anybody what? Cutting us up and cutting us down. Sometimes we have to win them over with love. We have to win them with compassion. We know you're doing wrong, but we don't have to tell the world you're doing wrong. Y'all go ahead on. We know you're doing wrong. But we don't have to tell the world you're doing wrong. We need to talk to him. Hey, here we go. To him, that doxology, you see, that praise, it says, and now unto him who can keep you on your feet, standing tall in his bright presence, fresh and celebrating to our one God, our only Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Master. To him be glory, majesty, strength, and rule before all time, and now, and to the end of all time. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I got to give y'all that one again, because, oh, my God, I like the way it says it in the NIV. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and if you go to King James, to him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you. You with your little raggedy, messed up self. You who couldn't cook grits worth anything. But now you the master cooker. Now you're able to stand for somebody else. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault. That's an infallible outcome. And with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be what? Be glory. Be what? Be majesty. Be what? Power and authority. Through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Let the church say what?
Amen.
It says amen. Go ahead and give him a praise right there. Listen. When you're seeking those infallible outcomes, remember that this paradigm shift can only happen if we get the right things in place. What's those 3 R's, Pastor Leslie? Give me the 3 R's. Reconnect. Recover. Revisit. The only way we're able to do that is if we're seeking to do that. If we're not looking to do it, it's not going to happen for you. But I'm going to dare to tell you it's going to happen for the church. Because the church as a whole is seeking. So even though we may have those one or two who are not sure, what I want you to do for me is this. Do this for you. Do this for God. I want you to just sit still and hold tight. Don't jump in if you're not ready to jump in. But don't try to stop anybody else from going forward. Because you're going to be stuck with that square ball. And everybody else is going to be moving ahead, seeking infallible outcomes. Remember, it requires intentional what? Preparation. to get that grits cooked the way you want it. If you intended on shrimp and grits, you cannot, bring out catfish. If you intended on smooth grits, you can't just put that five-minute Quaker, not going to work. You got to add some stuff. If you want your grits to be a little sweet, you got to do like this brother, add just a smidgen of sugar. Ain't nothing wrong with that, brother. It's okay. It's okay. Some folks like to put a little sugar in their greens. They think I don't know. But that's okay because we have different preferences. But regardless of our preference, we have one outcome that we're all seeking. We're seeking to be before Him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before a loving and a true God, one who stuck with you and stayed with you. Guess what? The way it turns out is the outcome. And for every outcome, it's a consequence. And the consequence happens because of what you put into it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Go ahead and give God a praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Listen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I ask God to not let me come and preach hard, but to preach the word of God for an understanding that would change your heart and your mind about something. You, every time you sit under the word, something ought to change. Even in your thought process, there ought to be something you take away. On your jobs, they say, what are you taking away? You ought to walk away with something that can help you improve, that can cause your regal stance, like mine, to become better. Come on, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you for your word, God. We appreciate you, Father. We ask that every person, oh God, under the anointing of this word, oh God, be they virtual or here in person with us, God, that you cause them, God, to reminisce on your word, God. And we pray that we have set a seed, oh God, about something that they know about. So every time they cook those grits, every time they hear the pot stir, they remember that they're seeking an infallible outcome. They remember that they are part of a process which will cause a shift. That they're taking it from the stony ground, oh God, now to a smooth, a flavorful, and well done thing within them, God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Listen, if you're here, or you out there in our virtual audience, and you have been looking and seeking and not sure, we don't want you to stay like the young lady whose head is down, but I want you to see her, not as stressed or distressed, but I want you to see her as thinking this thing through. And if you're thinking this thing through and you don't understand, you haven't connected with this man named Jesus, the one who is able to present you faultless, no matter what you've done, no matter what life you lived, we want to offer you an invitation to give your life this morning. We want you to go ahead. If you're here, go ahead and raise your hand. Just raise your hand where you are. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. If you think about it and service is over, I want you to seek out one of our elders or our pastors or our members, our covenant partners, and you say, hey, somebody, I need to catch hold. If you're in our virtual congregation community right now, we want you to know that if you pray this prayer with us, this prayer that God gave us, let us pray this prayer. If you're ready to receive Him as your personal Savior, come on, God. Father, I thank you. And I ask your forgiveness for my sin, for the things that I didn't understand that I was doing, and even those that I did understand, God, that were out of your will. I ask you now, Father, to change my heart, my mind, my spirit, God. And I confess now, God, because your word did tell me in Romans 10 and 9 that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, so I confess the Lord Jesus, that he is Lord, that he is your son, and that you, God, raised him, Christ, from the dead. God, your word says I'm saved, and I receive my salvation even right now. Just go ahead and lift your hands in his presence, wherever you are, whether in your home, oh, my God, in your car, on your job, in this building, go ahead and lift your hands in submission, in submission. I give my life to you, God. Amen, amen, amen. Let me be the first to welcome you in a place, into a place where you can gain infallible outcomes. Amen, amen. And amen. Amen. God bless you and keep you real life. Happy 22nd anniversary. We're going to give over to our pastor. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining Pastor Harris at Real Life Christian Fellowship Church today. And remember,